This episode is brought to you by Splash Refresher. I believe in the three beverage rotation on my desk at all times. One for caffeinating, one for hydrating, and one for fun. But Splash, they spice it up by putting the fun and hydration in one. I don't have to dread my 8 cups of water a day. I just drink Splash and like it. My flavor that I've been enjoying the most lately is the wild berry. Keep one on your desk. You'll be hydrated in no time. Find Splash Refresher today on Amazon and Instacart or at your local Walmart, Sam's Club, or Kroger. Betches Media presents
Ha Ha Laugh Funny
Mention It All, a Bravo by Betches podcast.
We don't say that, but now we said it.
With me, Dylan Hafer.
We'll go check, Nibo.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the Mention It All podcast. I'm Dylan Hafer, and we are back with another Wednesday episode talking about Vanderpump Rules, talking about the Valley. I chose not to talk about the Valley last week because I was, you know, cramming stuff before my trip. But so I caught up, and the last 2 weeks, oh boy, we have some interesting things to get into. But before we talk about all of that, I want to give a little shout out to something very exciting that we have going on at Betches this week. We have launched our very own reality TV textbook. It's an online issue on our website. We have all these different chapters that we had great writers write. I even contributed a little something myself. If you are listening to this podcast, you seriously should go check out what we have going on over with this reality TV textbook. There are some incredible graphics and images that we have designed for it. We had Paris Hilton herself write our letter from a founding mother. And some of the chapters that we have going on, there's reality TV's royal families, anatomy of a reality TV villain, Wars Lost and Won, an analysis of the most legendary battles in reality TV history. We have the rituals of reality TV reunions. There is so much good stuff going on. If you go to betches.co/reality TV, you'll be on the landing page with all of the table of contents that you can look through at your leisure. But truly, this is a labor of love that a lot of work went into over the last, I don't know, few months or so. So definitely go check it out, betches.co/reality TV. And, you know, maybe we can do more cool stuff like this if you guys are into it. So go check that out. It was a lot of fun. Should we talk about Vanderpump? I had this weird sensation yesterday as I was, you know, making my way through my day. I was sitting in my little meetings and, you know, eating my little lunch. And I was thinking about the shows that we had on the docket for Tuesday. And I'm like, I think I am more excited for the new episode of The Valley than I am for the new episode of Vanderpump Rules. And I had this thought, it popped into my head like a little light bulb. And I sat with it for a second. I'm like, that can't be. Really? Like, we have 11 years of history under the bridge for Vanderpump Rules. And we're on episode 4 of The Valley. And am I really more interested in what's going on over past the hills, over yonder in the valley, than I am with the WeHo crew? And I think I stand by it. And let me just be clear, because I think that this season of Vanderpump Rules has in some ways been unfairly maligned. I think that it has been judged really harshly. It's been, you know, compared to the sort of once in a lifetime high of Scandoval. And I think that, you know, it's been a little bit at a disadvantage because of that. I don't think that this season of Vanderpump Rules has been a flop. I don't think it's been a terrible season. I feel like we sort of have a version of this conversation every week on Wednesday. I don't have major structural issues with this season of Vanderpump Rules. I just think that there's been a little bit of, you know, stagnant energy. There's a little bit of, it feels like the machinations of the group are working a little bit too hard, where it's like, if Ariana doesn't want to talk to Sandoval ever again, why can't we just let her never talk to Sandoval ever again? Like, that's sort of the underlying issue here, is that it's like, if these people don't want to fuck with each other, then let them not. But over on the Valley, episode 3 and 4, they're kind of a good companion piece. So honestly, I'm maybe glad that I didn't talk about it last week. These people are on a level that I just, you can tell that none of them are sort of, none of them have like arrived at a level of producedness and, you know, sheen and gloss that I think we sometimes get on these shows. Like if you're watching Real Housewives of Beverly Hills and there's kind of this air about everything. These people are actually, in a bizarre way, and I don't know what this says about my mental state, they're kind of like a breath of fresh air. Watching Janet, like 8 months pregnant, deal with this shit that Kristen is stirring up, and watching, you know, what are their names? Jesse and Jesse and Michelle, look, I might be enjoying this show, but that doesn't mean that I know everyone's name. We're only 4 weeks in and there are still a lot of them. Watching Jesse and Michelle just be like objectively so bad at being married to each other, it scratches an itch that I maybe didn't know was there, but now that it's being itched, scratched. Do you scratch an itch. Now that itch is being scratched, I feel relief. I feel sweet relief. But no, the stuff with Brittany and Jax is interesting because, of course, you know, coming right before the season when Brittany shared the news that they were living apart, as you might say, that seemed like kind of the big headline going into the season. And we're getting some interesting insights into their relationship. Like, for one, the reveal by Brittany that they have only had sex maybe twice in the last year. The last year! Meanwhile, over on Summer House a couple weeks ago, the girlies are shook when Lindsay says that she and Carl only have sex every couple of weeks. Brittany and Jax are putting them to shame. In not in the good way. Well, I mean, everybody should have sex as much as they or as little as they want to, but like not in the way that seems like a good sign for the relationship. And this is something that when Brittany first shared the news that she and Jax weren't currently together, the refrain that I heard a lot was, well, if he's not getting it from her, he's getting it from somewhere else. And I don't know any details about Jax's, you know, maybe extramarital dalliances in the recent times. But I don't disagree that sort of seems like a potential logical. I mean, I know he's super busy with his bar. I know Jax's Studio City, whatever the fuck, is taking up a lot of his time. He wants to involve Brittany because he sees how bad it was for Tom and Tom when they didn't involve their partners. But at the same time, he wants to be able to hire whatever hot chicks he wants to hire. So, you know, Brittany's not, she's not like involved. She's just like, she's involved. She's in the loop. But that doesn't mean that she's there. But as I'm recording this episode, I'm looking 12 hours ago. Brittany Cartwright is on the cover of Us Weekly. It's a photo of her with a big old fishtail braid looking straight at the camera. Brittany as can be. The eyebrows are looking freshly lifted by perhaps some Botox. And the headline is "How My Marriage Fell Apart." The star of the Valley reveals the final straw that led to her split, plus how she's protecting her son and finding her strength through this difficult time. There's a little badge in the corner that says her most candid interview. Brittany also this week was on the Not Skinny But Not Fat podcast hosted by my friend Amanda. And in that interview, she says that she and Cruz are still living in an Airbnb because Jax wouldn't let them keep the house. That we knew she was in an Airbnb, but I don't know that she had said so directly that Jax wasn't going to leave the house. Now, when Britney first announced that the separation was a thing right before the show premiered, it seemed like very opportune timing where it was like, okay, I always believed that it was real. Some people thought it was like a total, you know, scam to get people to watch their show. I thought it was real at the time. And the fact that she is continuing to do this press and continuing just this week to do this big push, I mean, getting an Us Weekly cover for somebody like Britney is kind of the pinnacle. I mean, not that it's like the pinnacle of, you know, society, but for somebody who is, you know, a multiple Bravo show star who, you know, has gone through ups and downs of people, you know, caring about what's going on with her, being on the cover of Us Weekly, a solo shot about your marriage falling apart, is like, it's like winning an Oscar. It's like you got your Oscar, Grammy, Emmy, Tony, Us Weekly cover, the EGOUT. And Britney, she's a one-time EGOUT winner. Now she only needs to get her other four awards. Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card? Well, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard. Splash Refreshers are the delicious zero-calorie beverage I'm reaching for again and again when I'm feeling thirsty for something flavorful. I believe in the three-beverage rotation on my desk at all times. One for caffeinating, one for hydrating, and one for fun. But Splash spices it up by putting the fun and hydration in one. I don't have to dread my 8 cups of water a day. I just drink Splash and like it. Lately, my go-to office beverage has been the Splash Wild Berry flavor. It's so nice to just put a few in the fridge at the beginning of the week, grab one whenever you want something nice and refreshing. It's just the right amount of flavor, just the right amount of sweetness. You know the vibes. When you want something refreshing, when you want something hydrating, Splash is the perfect thing to reach for. It perfectly blends refreshing fruit flavors with just a little bit of sweetness, all with zero sugar and zero calories. And it's available in 5 craveable flavors. Wild Berry, that's my favorite, Acai Grape, Pineapple Mango, Lemon, and Mandarin. Mandarin Orange. It's there to satisfy your need for hydration with a little flavor. Consider your hydrated self thriving. Find Splash Refresher today on Amazon and Instacart or at your local Walmart, Sam's Club, or Kroger. Going back to the Valley, so the issues with Britney and Jax aside, the big thing over the last 2 weeks has been this this strange game of telephone that has happened from Michelle to maybe Janet, to maybe Zach, to Kristen, to back to Michelle, to whatever happened with Michelle, whatever she said that ended up getting twisted into Kristen saying that she is racist and a Republican. And over the course of these two episodes, the way that racist and Republican are treated as two equivalent accusations is funny to me, but also like a little bit satisfying in the sense that I wouldn't necessarily have guessed everyone's politics on this show to be not Republican, if that makes sense. Like the fact that Jesse is like, how dare you say that about my wife? I'm like, oh, interesting. I wouldn't necessarily have guessed. It is funny that Zach, the gay guy with the hair, is like, when you call someone in LA a Republican, that's like a death sentence. Like, they're not going to get invited anywhere. I'm like, can we not say that it's a death sentence? Like, look. If you've listened to this show for more than 5 minutes, I don't think that my political leanings are probably much of a mystery. But there are people who are like actually, you know, really like at risk every day because of their identity in the world. And like, you know, somebody who was fired from another show for doing something racist, calling you a Republican, is not a death sentence. Just let's level set here a little bit. Look, is it something that you necessarily want to put on your Hinge profile? I can't say. I would say probably not. But the whole way that this is handled in the group is super interesting, because Kristen sort of brings it up to begin with. And, you know, she said that Zach told her that Janet said that Michelle was a racist Republican. And then there's this kind of 2-episode-long detective scenario of figuring out where this originated from, who said what, whether Janet said racist Republican, whether Zach said racist Republican, whether Kristen heard something else and then intuited it. It's weird because to begin with, it's like, I wouldn't trust Kristen as far as I can throw her. So is it really hard to believe that she would kind of like concoct this in her head a little bit? No, but at the same time, I don't trust spray tan Zach as far as I can throw him either. And he's the one that just got on reality TV 3 weeks ago and is probably willing to do just about anything for some camera time. That is something that I feel confident I can say about Zach, that he seems like somebody who has geared his entire adult life toward wanting to be on a reality show. And congratulations to him. He made it. And he, I think, is the sort of like secret messy ingredient here, where he's kind of like, he's not really keeping his side of the street clean, because we get we like roll footage a couple times on him essentially like saying to Kristen that these things were said, or he seems like the one who is kind of, he's not as innocent as he's making himself out to be. And I think Janet, to me, sort of gets a little bit of a pass. First of all, because she's like about to pop out a baby and seems like she is like a little bit miserable, which, can you blame her? I mean, they're filming this shit in the summer. In the first episode, it was like 100 degrees. She's walking around pregnant. She has to go to all these theme parties where people are like screaming at the table. She can't even have a cocktail. If I were Janet, I would not be here for the bullshit either. But I am really I'm enjoying Janet's energy. She seems like the person on the show that I would most want to be friends with, which is not necessarily what I need from my reality stars, but I think that it's good to have one person in the group who kind of fills that slot. But she kind of gives us the download on what her version of what happened with Michelle, and that's that Michelle said that don't say gay bills, protect children. And that is like, that's like the little bit of tea where I'm like, wait. This in and of itself is a problematic enough thing to say that it's like, let's just focus on that. If that's the thing that she actually said, we don't need to intuit like racist, homophobic, Republican. Let's just talk about why that's wrong. And that is what I like about Janet, that she says, when she said that, I was like, no, that's wrong. And we need to talk about that. And like, I know that Jasmine doesn't feel strongly about this. And, you know, we have queer friends and this is not something that we should be supporting. And I think that, you know, she acknowledges that maybe Michelle just got served things on her algorithm or on social media or whatever, and, you know, formed this opinion based on things that she saw online, which unfortunately is how a lot of people are forming their opinions, through these, you know, inaccurate, problematic, you know, things that are presented as fact. And so I felt like Janet seemed to be the one that was actually trying to handle this in a productive way. Maybe I'm giving her too much credit. Maybe she was still messy behind the scenes, because obviously, at some point, this information got passed along the daisy chain to Kristen. But I don't know. I feel like I am giving Janet the benefit of the doubt here. I don't think that she was the one kind of stirring this up. I think that it's Zach and, of course, Kristen. Kristen's having a tough go of it, I think, on this season. Because then in the most recent episode, she's coming through with this bizarre kind of narrative of She says that she's protected Michelle more than anyone. And then we see that she texted her later that her secrets are safe with her and that she doesn't retaliate because of her mental health. And she's made similar comments to other people about how, you know, she protects people and she isn't going to say what she knows and she could ruin lives if she wanted to. And I'm like, what is going on in this group? I just met all these people. Do they all have these life-ruining skeletons in the closet that Kristen knows about? Like, this is... Because if so, that's a ticking time bomb. I mean, Andy always says, don't come on reality TV if you don't want people to find the skeletons that you have in your closet. And, I mean, I feel like Kristen is... She's digging around in those closets as we speak, I'm sure. But It's a strange little vibe. And then there's this gala that Jesse and Michelle are having. And Michelle, I mean, I hope that she has changed her mind about the Don't Say Gay bills, but she did. She earned some points from me when Kristen apologizes to her. And she's like, you don't have to accept the apology, but please just believe me that I am sorry and blah, 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 blah. And I don't think those things about you. And Michelle, this is like, she goes, Kristen, I believe you need some help. I believe you need some help is like such a wicked comeback. That's like, what do you say to that? Kristen does say that she's been in therapy for 9 years. And it's just like, Kristen Doty... explaining that she's been in therapy for 9 years, it's like, babe, it's has it been with the same therapist the whole time? Because maybe we should shop around a little bit. Maybe we should get some other opinions. I love Kristen, but it's like, we gotta this isn't good. And everybody in the group is now feeling like she is the wild card. She's the unruly one, the one you can't rely on, the one you can't trust with your secrets. If she's saying that she's protected everyone, it's like they're not going to feel safe anymore. And this is what's interesting, is that going into this show, you kind of expected Kristen to be like the HBIC a little bit. And I don't really think that she's allowing herself to have that kind of status in the group, because she still does seem to be so messy in certain scenarios. And so it's like, these other girlies, they might not have the reality TV experience that Kristen does, but they aren't going to have that sort of like respect for her just as friends if they don't feel like she's somebody that can kind of keep it together in the middle of the group. Like, you got to have that kind of like central figure. And I don't think that Kristen is really helping herself in that category. Also, just the situation with her boyfriend is so... It's so weird and so depressing, and just it feels like, oh, we're watching like a slow motion train wreck. And I think they're still together, as far as I know. But like, at what cost? He says that he has no intention of moving his life to California. He's not being like cagey about it. He's not being non-committal. He is being committal in the exact opposite way that she wants him to. Like, at a certain point, what are we doing here? I don't know. I'm excited to keep up with the Valley. I think that these first four episodes have been honestly quite strong. Against all odds, they have persisted, and we'll see what the rest of this season has to offer. Spring has sprung, and that means it is time for some spring cleaning. Whether that means stocking up on cleaning supplies or swapping out your winter clothes for new spring ones, make sure you are using Ibotta to get real cash back with every purchase. Ibotta is a free app that gives you the most cash back every time you shop on hundreds of items, from groceries to beauty supplies to toys, so you can make sure you're shopping smarter, not harder, no matter what you are purchasing. The average Ibotta user earns $256 per year. That could cover the cost cost of a spring wardrobe refresh, a new warm weather bedding set, or a flight for that summer getaway you've been eyeing. Other apps, they give you points that don't amount to much. But with Ibotta, you just add your offers in the app, upload your receipt, and you get real cash that you can cash out to your bank account, PayPal, or gift cards. Join the over 50 million users and earn cash back every time you shop from over 2,700 brands and retailers, including all your favorite grocery stores, Lowe's, Macy's, Sephora, Best Buy, and more. Right now, Ibotta is offering our listeners $5 just for trying by using the code MENTION when you register. Just go to the App Store or Google Play Store and download the free Ibotta app to start earning cash back and use code MENTION. That's Ibotta in the Google Play or App Store and use code MENTION.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are just as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They're milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Which means, like, I guess we should talk about Vanderpump. I kind of meant to talk about Vanderpump first, and then I had more thoughts about the Valley, which is a weird place to be in. This week on Vanderpump seems to be sort of like the denouement of the Joe situation. I don't know if we're going to see her for the rest of the season. I know she's at the reunion in a dress that is truly just god-awful. But the situation with Joe and Schwartz continues to be strange and messy and unclear, both to us and to both of them. Lala and Joe go on a little one-on-one, which is just so... I mean, I'm Team Katie in this sense that I'm like, why are Lala and Joe hanging out for any reason other than it being convenient for production for somebody to hang out with Joe who's not Schwartz? They have this, like, this weird conversation about, you know, she denies again that she knew about the affair with Raquel, but she does say that she thought that Tom and Ariana were broken up at the time. And it's like, why were you thinking about them being broken up if you didn't know that he was hooking up with Raquel? I don't know. We're never going to have, like, real answers and clarity there. But she's saying that she needs to get to, you know, to be friends with other people if she's going to be part of Schwartz's life forever, and that Lala's like the way in. It's like, LOL. Okay. Fast forward to the end of the episode, baby. You might not be part of Schwartz's life forever. But the thing with Lala this season that is frustrating me, I don't have an issue with her being more forgiving of Schwartz or of Sandoval than other people in the group. Like, I don't actually really begrudge her that. I think everybody can form their own opinions. You know, not everybody has to be like a soldier for Ariana the whole season. But it feels a little too transparent for me that Lala is kind of the tool that production is using to try and overcome the division within the group, and that it doesn't feel like it's coming from a place of genuine emotion and you know, friendship ties. It feels like it's coming from a place of storytelling device. We need somebody to do this. And I think Sheena's done it a little bit, but I think that Sheena is a little bit better at selling the emotional narrative of it. I mean, partially just because Sheena, I think, is a more, you know, sensitive, kind of vulnerable person, that when she talks to Sandoval, it feels like, damn, there are these longtime friends that have got to hash this out. Whereas when Lala is the one that's kind of being sent on these little quests week by week, it's like, but why do you want to be friends with Sandoval? Like, what is the... It doesn't feel like Lala would be friends with Sandoval. So then when her whole season is spent trying to get the group to forgive Sandoval, it's like, everything I know about you makes me think that you, like, wouldn't be able to stand this guy. So, but then you're taking up for him week after week. Same with Joe. The idea that Lala and Joe would be any kind of personality match as friends is like, It strains credulity. And I think that's part of the reason why when Katie is like, wait, why are you hanging out with Joe? Like, you have no relationship with this woman. You have a relationship with me. I'm saying that she has made me feel uncomfortable and disrespected. Why? What reason do you have to choose her feelings over mine? And I think the issue is that, you know, Katie is doing her best to keep this within a fourth wall kind of context. But the only reason that she is hanging out with Joe is because of the show. And so I think that's sort of Vanderpump Rules is bumping on that in a few different areas this season, where it's like they're committed to not breaking the fourth wall in a lot of key ways. But watching the show, the only explanation for some of these people continuing to be in the same places at the same time, I mean, even, you know, everybody being at Hotel Ziggy to support James, it's like you would realistically just go to a different DJ gig than your toxic ex if there weren't cameras filming for the show. So I think that that's something, assuming there's a next season of Vanderpump Rules, and I do not think they will cancel this show. I think that is unrealistic. If people are talking about that, I just, you know, it's not, the ratings are not that bad. It just got nominated for Emmys last season. Like, Bravo doesn't usually give up on shows that quickly. I think that they're going to have to do some soul searching for next season of like, what is the logical next step for this group? Who does it make sense to keep? Who does it make sense to maybe let go to greener pastures, whether that's the Valley, whether that's hosting Love Island and not really needing to do this shit anymore, in Ariana's case, perhaps. You know, she, I certainly don't think is going to like be relying on a Vanderpump Rules paycheck to pay her bills in the future if she doesn't want to. I think that it was kind of inevitable to have one season that's like this, where there are kind of these outside forces at play and we have to keep the group together just to follow the storyline. But I think that starting with next season, we should have like a little bit more of like a logical goal for the friend group. But yeah, I mean, this is back to what's happening with Joe. She bleaches Tom's hair. We've all been waiting for it, for Tom to debut his golden locks. To be honest, I don't think it looks as bad as some people do. I mean, look, does it give cry for help a little bit? Sure. I think that, you know, as a gay person, I see lots of men every year go through the spiral of bleaching their hair when sometimes it's ill-advised. Tom at least looks like he's got some nice toner on there, some nice purple shampoo. It's not brassy. You know, Victoria Gunvalson's mom would not tell him that his hair looks yellow. But seeing Joe like do his hair is truly wild. And then he tells her that he and Sandoval are going to a singles night. And she's like, I want to come. It's like, okay, you asked for it. And he's also like, he went on a date with this girl, Tori, who Katie's also going on a date with. Katie makes out with her. It's like the whole Schwartz, Katie, Joe, Tori, love quad, love square. It's very messy. And I think that, you know, as much as I have poked fun at Joe in these last few weeks, and as much as she is sort of a grating personality type to have on a show like this, I also think that she is a real person with real feelings who deserves to have those feelings treated with respect. And so I think that Tom kind of breaking things off at the end of the episode was the right thing to do. You know, they're at this singles event together and he's making out with some other girl and she sees this and she's getting upset and is, you know, emotional about it. And it's obvious that she has strong feelings for him. And I believe that he has some feelings for her, but clearly he is not interested in taking things to the next phase of a relationship with her. And so I think it's for the best that he sort of presses pause on the whole thing. And, you know, as much as Tom Schwartz is can be like a little bit of a, you know, stupid guy, I think that, you know, I'm glad that he didn't continue. It felt like he was leading her on by the end. And it, once it becomes, you know, if you're like, oh, we're all just friends, we're all just having a good time, whatever, whatever, you know, we hook up sometimes, that's all well and good. But once it becomes clear that one person is more emotionally invested than the other, it really is, it's not fair to let that situation like fester. And so I appreciate Tom Schwartz making the adult decision for once, and letting things go. As for the rest of the season, I don't know. Are we? I feel like we can let Joe sit on the bench until the reunion. That's good with me. But we'll see what happens next week. Thank you so much for listening. Don't forget to rate, review, and follow the show wherever you listen. You can follow us on Instagram at Bravo by Betches. Like I said earlier, check out the reality TV textbook that we have going on at betches.co/reality TV. And until next time, be cool. Don't be all like uncool. Mention It All is produced by Dylan Hafer, Sean Kilby, Jorge Morales Pico, and Rebecca Sousmacat. Editing by Jorge Morales Pico. Social media by Dylan Hafer. Guest booking by Dylan Hafer and Ali Friedlander. Be sure to follow at Bravo by Betches on Instagram and Twitter. Thank you to our sponsor, Splash Refresher. Meet the water beverage that loves self-care as much as you do. Just because you have to hydrate doesn't mean it has to be tasteless. Splash Refresher makes hydration deliciously easy. Splash perfectly blends refreshing fruit flavors with just a little bit of sweetness, all with zero sugar and zero calories. I am going to go grab myself a wild berry splash now that I am done recording, and you should too. Consider your hydrated self thriving. Find Splash Refresher today on Amazon and Instacart or at your local Walmart, Sam's Club, or Kroger. Betches.